Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
On Saturday, including injury and penalties and lots of lines to turnovers, but it overcame all of that, beating Nebraska 31-27. The Boilermakers now move on to take on Northwestern on Evanston on Saturday. We'll break it all down, plus we'll talk a little bit of basketball as well, with the Boilermakers tipping off their season this week on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Tom Deanhart, Ryan Duber, in a couple of minutes to talk some basketball with us. All right, Tom. Purdue has been used to adversity this season. It hasn't always overcome that adversity. It certainly did, though, on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We had another injury, this time the quarterback once again. Of course, Plummer goes down late. What looked like some right leg injury of some sort. And in comes Aiden O'Connell. And calmly and coolly, Kyle directed Purdue to the game, winning drive. So, looks like he's probably going to be the player under center moving forward, and it's going to be interesting to see how Jeff Rahm and company utilize the skills of O'Connell. He's a talented player who has a pretty good right arm, I think.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there, and we'll get to O'Connell here in just a moment. Let's talk about some of the things in this game, Tom, that seem almost impossible to believe, but they are actually true. So a couple of things here. Purdue, it seems likely when it starts on Saturday up at Northwestern, we'll not only start a walk-on quarterback, but we'll also start a walk-on center. I would have to imagine that is extremely rare in the Big Ten and maybe in NCAA football. And Purdue will take into it at Northwestern a 16-game touchdown streak scored by freshmen, which seems darn near impossible, but is actually true. It's hard to believe those two things.
Yeah, it is crazy. It just speaks to the youth of the 2019 Boilermakers and the fact Purdue's had to rely on a lot of these young players. And I think, Kyle, the count is 30 true or redshirt freshmen have played this year. I think 13 have made starts. You talked about the touchdown string, which dates back to the Minnesota game. Yeah, truly remarkable. Actually, 17 of the last 18 touchdowns, I went back and looked at it, Kyle, have been scored by true or redshirt freshmen. I think the total for the year is 19-28, close to 70%. So, yeah, again, they've really had to rely on these young players, and they've delivered, which I guess is a good sign for the future. You obviously would like to be more experienced this year, but, again, the growing pains have been there. But, again, it's good to see the young guys get experience, and like I said, it portends well for the future of the program.
So O'Connell comes off the bench on Saturday, delivers a couple of touchdown drives for the Boilermakers. Tom, I've been impressed with Aiden since the first time I saw him in a training camp because he does have a good arm. Didn't get recruited a lot. I think he has told some in the media before, maybe he's not that great an athlete, pretty slow. I think he's improved in those two areas and gotten stronger during his 3 years at Purdue. But a guy who can really swing it around and probably has the second best arm in that quarterback room behind Elijah Sindelar. But, man, we saw him make some throws on Saturday. I think the tosses to Bryson Hopkins, especially the one near the sideline, those are NFL-level throws, and he can really sling it around. And we got to see that a little bit. Now he's gained in some confidence, gained in a little bit of experience, and Purdue, at least for the time being, seems like it'll have to put everything behind him as the starting quarterback.
Yeah, redshirt sophomore quarterback from Lincolnshire, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. Went to Stevenson High School, a massive high school in the Chicagoland area. Options out of high school weren't great. Was going to go to Wheaton College right there in the Chicago suburbs, but opted to walk on at Purdue, and here we are. 3 years in, and O'Connell's going to start a game in his hometown of Chicago this coming weekend. So it's got to be exciting for him and his family and friends. Like you said, Kyle, not the greatest athlete, but you talked about the right arm. It probably is better than Jack Plummer's, not as good as Sindelar's, but again, it's a powerful arm. And O'Connell is every bit of 6'3". And you know what? Going back to training camp, talking to Brian Brohm, talking to Jeff Brohm, even then, Kyle, they had confidence in O'Connell. We asked him a couple of times, hey, if for some reason this guy has to go in, how would you guys feel? And, of course, they both said that they feel confident the kid can run their offense. So there are limitations. Like you said, may not be able to improvise with the run like we saw Plummer doing so well Saturday. But, again, he's a guy I think has gotten his feet wet, knows the offense, and has a little bit of confidence. And I think they could make this thing go, even with this sophomore walk-on quarterback.
We didn't hear from Jeff Brohm a lot about it before the game. He did talk about it some after the game, just the idea that he felt like maybe he and the staff needed to take the pressure off, you know, let those guys play a little bit looser, let them play through mistakes a little bit. We saw that, right, on Saturday. I mean, Purdue made a lot of mistakes, early in the game, really made a lot of mistakes throughout the game. But I thought that, you know, he handled that team a little bit differently from the sideline and maybe letting them play a little bit, knowing that there's so much youth out there on the field.
Yeah, I think you did see a marked difference in the sideline. The sideline, just a character of Jeff Brohm on Saturday. You know, rewatching the game, Kyle, listening to the broadcasters, they had the anecdote where I guess Jeff Brohm's parents talked to him recently about how he conducts himself. Sometimes, as we know, he can get very animated, right, in his instruction of his players. And he certainly did dial it back last Saturday, even though, like you said, there still were a lot of mistakes. 10 penalties, two interceptions, two blocked punts, too. But still, you know, Brohm kept calm, cool, and collected the whole time. And, hey, you know what? When things aren't working, you have to try different tactics. And, again, Jeff Brohm embraced, I guess, a calmer demeanor. And I think a lot of ways that the team probably responded to it with the way they rallied late, didn't fold, and found a way to win that game.
All right, Tom, so a week ago today, Purdue did not release a depth chart. As we sort of joked going into the week, the only guy that we knew was even starting on Saturday was Jack Plummer. And we didn't know much about the injury situation throughout the week. He said on Monday that he wouldn't talk much about it. Then, as it turned out, didn't talk much about more about it on Thursday either. Do you think that you get a depth chart today, and will Jeff Brohm be a little bit more forthcoming on Purdue's injury situation as we get set for Northwestern on Saturday?
Yeah, I don't anticipate getting a depth chart. Things really haven't changed that much in just 7 days from an injury roster standpoint. We talked to Jeff on Thursday, asked him about that, and again, he just said, and he wasn't even sure who was going to start coming out of that game last week against Illinois, so he didn't feel confident in putting together a depth chart for distribution last Monday. And again, like I said, I don't expect wholesale players to be back from injury this week. So don't hold your breath there. Like I said, it's probably going to be another week without a depth chart. But I think one of the key questions we want to know is who's going to be the backup quarterback now, right? Obviously, the options are slim with Sinlar Plummer out, Nick Sipe having medical issues, retiring from football. They have true freshman Paul Perferi, of course, and another walk-on Danny Carollo. So things get really urgent should something happen to O'Connell on Saturday.
Kyle Charter is here back on the show. Sorry about that. I got disconnected. We'll see if we can get Tom back on the line here in just a moment. We're talking a little bit about the backup quarterback. I had to cut Tom off there because I got disconnected from the show. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring Tom back in if we can. If not, we'll bring in Brian Uber, talk a little bit about him, about football, and hit basketball as well. We'll do that here in just a moment. Actually, there's Tom back. Let's try to go back to him now. Hey, Tom, are you there, A? And second of all, sorry about that. I cut you off because I had lost my connection. We were talking a little bit about Purdue's quarterback situation and the backup quarterbacks in particular. So let's try and pick up there. What do you think will be the quarterback situation on Saturday?
Yeah, again, potentially dicey situation. Paul Paferi, a true freshman, and another walk-on, Danny Carollo. They're the only other quarterbacks on the roster. Again, Nick Sipes had to step aside for medical issues. We know about the injuries to Simlar and Plummer. So, again, it could be dire straits should something happen to Aiden O'Connell on Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see what Jeff Rom talks about and how they address that issue. As you know, Jared Sparks was a quarterback in high school, but he's been hurt for a while. So, again, the options appear to be limited. And, again, things could get pretty interesting, like I said, should something happen to Aiden O'Connell Saturday.
So Northwestern up on Saturday, a chance for Purdue to put something together a little bit here. I mean, the Wildcats have been, you know, you talk about a team that has struggled offensively, and it's certainly Northwestern. Purdue with a chance here to get a little bit of momentum going into the bye-in in the last few weeks of the season?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, Northwestern's really struggled this year. One victory, just got trounced at Indiana. Hard to believe this was a program that just last year went to the Big Ten championship game. The defense, for the most part, has been pretty solid. It's just been a lot of offensive struggles, especially at quarterback. Looking at the numbers, I mean, it's the worst offense in the Big Ten. That's saying something when you got Rutgers in your conference. But, again, they struggle from top to bottom, be it running the ball or passing the ball. So doesn't look like a great challenge defensively for Purdue. So again, like you said, it's a chance for the program to put another win behind what happened against Nebraska. Like you said, try to finish this season with some momentum. You know, Kyle, there's still a chance to get to a bowl. You got to win Saturday, and you have to win at Wisconsin coming off your bye week. Then you have Indiana. I know it's a tall order, but hey, it's still on the plate for Purdue maybe to grab and run with.
Hey, Tom, should be an interesting press conference here in about an hour. We'll see what Jeff Rom has to say about the injuries and all of that, with much more. We'll look for your report on the site at goldandblack.com. Thank you, sir.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll bring Brian Newbert back in, get his impressions of the football game on Saturday, the Boilermakers, and also Purdue men's basketball opening up its season this week as well. We'll do all that and much more on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brom Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit about football and basketball. All right, Brian, let's start off with football. Purdue will start on Saturday, we assume, a walk-on center with a walk-on quarterback. You ever remember that happening before?
Uh,
The answer
did
is
Kyle
no.
Smith ever take snaps from Nick Hardwick? Probably not. No.
Yeah, not.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah, that's just kind of, I mean, that kind of puts a face on Purdue's reality this season. I mean, you know, your team has basically been cut in half by circumstance, and, you know, it's at critical, critical positions. And, you know, as we've talked about here the last couple of weeks, this is just Purdue is not playing with the team it intended to have, it should have had, it could have had. It's not playing with the team that it prepared to have. And it's just kind of had to adjust on the fly to really, really difficult circumstances. And, you know, not to joke about injuries by any means, but I mean, that was kind of Purdue's season in a nutshell when Jack Plummer got hurt, because now it just puts you in an even bigger bind, you know, just when you think things can't get worse, they actually do. But credit to Purdue, obviously, for pulling that game out. That was a pretty remarkable ending to that game, all things considered. But things do get harder now.
Yeah. You know, the more I think about it, I guess, you know, Hardwick and Smith both came to Purdue as walk-ons. He would have snapped Smith the ball in the 2003 Capital One Bowl when Kyle Smith had to come in for that emergency series after Orton got hurt. They weren't walk-ons that point, but scholarship players by then, but I guess that would be the most similar combination that you could think of, since both did, you know, at least start their Purdue careers as walk-ons. I mean, what, you know,
right.
we both, I think, go ahead.
Nick Hardwick went on to play 10 years in the NFL, whatever it was, too, so let's not, let's take him out of that, you know, sort of context, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Purdue's not, all due respect to these guys, Purdue's not playing with Nick Hardwick out there. Purdue's playing with guys who wouldn't be, you know, on the field if not for this incredible rash of misfortune.
Yeah. I talked to Tom a little bit about it, too, that the 16 straight touchdowns by freshmen is something that is hard to fathom almost. I mean, some of it is a little bit of luck. I mean, you know, Bryson Hopkins hasn't scored a touchdown during that streak, but a lot of it too is just telling of where Purdue is at its skill positions, that it has this string of touchdowns by freshmen. And, you know, to then do that in a victory, I think gives it a little bit more validity.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can look at that superlative both ways. One, those freshmen are good. I think that's the more important part of it. But two, you know, under a normal set of circumstances, Purdue wouldn't be in a position where it would need all of its touchdowns to come from freshmen. Now, obviously, one of those touchdowns, too, was a cornerback, Corey Trice, making an interception, returning it for a touchdown, too. So it's not like your whole offense has accounted for that. But if you had what you were supposed to have, you know, I'm sure Rondell Moore's name would have appeared in there somewhere. You know, perhaps Elijah Sindelar runs one in at some point. You know, you're down two senior running backs who might have been able to help you this year had they been healthy. But I think the more important part of that superlative is that, you know, David Bell is really good. King DeRue is having a great year under difficult circumstances. Ahmad Anderson's having a really good year. Corey Trice has done some really positive things as a redshirt freshman who didn't play cornerback until like a week before the season, I think. You know, and so on and so forth. I think, you know, the future has had to be now for Purdue, and, you know, the future has looked pretty good playing 2 years probably before it needed to be relied on, or it should have been relied on to the extent it's being relied on right now.
All right, Brian, let's turn our attention to basketball with the Boilermakers opening their season on Wednesday, hosting Green Bay off the exhibition game on Friday night. You know, one thing that stood out to me in that exhibition game, Brian, was just the variety of ways in which Purdue's front court will be able to score or should be able to score this year. Now, in that exhibition, there, you know, clearly size and athleticism advantages in Purdue's front court over Southern Indiana. But if you look at those, you know, primary guys at the 4-5 positions, and they're, you know, they have very distinct styles, but, you know, very efficient scores also. And, man, that's going to give Purdue quite an advantage over a lot of teams this season.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think Purdue has the sort of offensive focal point it's had in years past. But I do think they have some really nice pieces, guys who can become maybe that's that sort of player. And obviously a bunch of them are in the front court. Matt Harms, I think, is going to have a really good year. I think he's going to score in a lot of different ways. I think he's going to do a good job this year playing with his back to the basket too. He's going to get more kind of deep post touches than he's ever has before and do a pretty decent job with that. I think he's going to make more threes this year. I think he's still going to be kind of the pick and roll threat that he was the last couple of years. I think Travion Williams, obviously, everybody knows what he's capable of, but I think you're going to see him facing the basket a little bit more, and you saw a nice bucket by him on Friday night where he faced the basket, drove, spun, and put it off the glass. Not the sort of play you necessarily expect from a 270-pounder, but he's got really good feet and stuff like that. Purdue did a really good job finding those guys in positions to score, too. I don't think Southern Indiana necessarily tested them from a defensive perspective. I think they were a little bit overmatched in that sense. I think anytime a team gets a couple minutes into the second half and they're still shooting 75% suggests you have a pretty big offensive advantage from a personnel perspective. But I do think, this is a year Purdue is going to play much more through those posts. And they're off to a pretty good start here. I thought Aaron Wheeler had a really good game, too. Anytime you make every three you take and you take four, that's a pretty good thing. But he also ran the floor really aggressively and was rewarded for it. And Purdue just talked about for years with him when he's using his athleticism, when he's getting out in the open floor and getting to the basket, his athleticism really matters. And I think for this team, too, and I don't know if there's a team you can't say this about, but the more easy offense you can steal, the better it's going to be. But this team, more than others, I think they're going to have to work for points much more so than they did the last couple years. And anything you can steal in transition, anything you can steal off the offensive glass, whatever, really, really helps.
Anything else stand out to you from the game on Friday?
Jahad Proctor and Eric Hunter, again, I thought stood out. I thought Jahad Proctor, as he was described coming from High Point, he was described as a player who kind of like plays at his own pace and kind of controls terms of play, sort of has a patience about him, sort of a calmness about him, sort of a simplicity about him. And I thought you saw that against Southern Indiana. Again, not exactly Michigan State from a defensive perspective, but I thought he did a really good job getting to the basket, making shots. He made a really nice play at the end of a shot clock to draw a defender in, hit Travion Williams for a basket to beat that shot clock. Just looked like a guy who's going to help Purdue, looked like a guy with some savvy about him, looked like somebody who's going to be a kind of a big part of Purdue's offensive mix. Eric Hunter as well, we've talked a lot about him, just being more confident, more comfortable, but also more empowered by Purdue needing more from him. And I think he looked that way on Friday night. He really looked to score, did a good job doing so. Obviously, his role will change when Nojel Eastern comes back. I think he will play more sort of at the two-guard position than he did at point right away. Purdue needed him at the point with Nojel Eastern out, but I thought he looked like a very different player. And I thought he was the one guy coming out of last season coming back who really had to take the biggest jump from one level to the next to kind of keep his niche maintained, and it sure looks like he's done that.
Right. I know you'll find out more before tip-off on Wednesday, but any thoughts on Nojel Eastern and whether he'll be good to go for the opener or not?
We'll ask him today, but his expectation as of last week was that this was just going to be basically a one-week thing, precautionary more than anything. I'm not sure if it's one of those deals where if this were game seven, if he would have been out there, this might just be a deal where you have a guy who's a known commodity. He's a proven player. If there's any irregularity whatsoever, it's not worth playing him. So I would think that if that's the case, I would think he would be out there on Wednesday night, but we will ask him again today.
Yeah. That sounds good. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
And look for much more on the Boilermakers and Eastern status coming up on the site. little bit later on Monday, goldandblack.com. All right, let's take another break. We'll come back with a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list or buy or anything else, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers with fish and steaks, and the signature Grill and Grit. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. The warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Much more on the site. Should be a big one both on the site today and throughout this week with basketball starting up and all the news surrounding Purdue's football team as well. Be sure to check that out at goldandblack.com. We'll be back with our pregame show for Northwestern. That'll drop at 11 o'clock on Friday. And as news breaks, be sure to check out Gold and Black Radio Express. Listen to that any way you can, whatever your favorite podcast app is, on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify as well. All right, that'll do it for our show. Thanks, as always, to our sponsors, East End Grill, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, First Source Bank, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's, and the 6th Street Dive. For Tom Dienhardt and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.